We got papers, George.
We got this, here, I'll get Vance's campaign in here. We're all campaigning.
Sam and I will share one. Time has been tight, couldn't get enough copies for us, huh?
Commission didn't hand them back in.
Huh?
The commission didn't hand them back in. I think they keep everything.
Oh.
You'd think the applicant would have them provided for us.
I figured Fuquay just keep trying to give it all to us.
Well, you'd think they, he would know that kind of stuff, be up on all that.
Yeah, I bet everyone brought enough. Jimmy, you were probably bought more than this.
Yeah.
Have a way of moving.
Do they have?
Yeah.
We gotta share, Sam.
What they gonna do when he's not moving into the buildings?
But P&amp;Z is recommended taking.
Yes, sir, we're ready for you.
Which is all wooded.
Hey, we're on air. I guess we'd like to entertain a motion to come in from recess.
Go move.
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Mr. Moore.
Thank you, Mr. President. We are holding public hearings on zoning applications, which are legislative hearings because council uses the information obtained during the hearings to decide whether to adopt an ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map in a manner requested by the applicant. Each application shall be announced, and the director will provide council with a copy of the minutes from the P&Z hearing, and those minutes will be made part of the record along with any exhibits introduced at the P&Z hearing. The applicant will be called on to present and explain their application, present testimony supporting their application. Council may question the applicant and their witnesses. After the applicant has presented their case, council will provide an opportunity for anyone else who favors the application to speak. Any persons who are present and oppose the application will be allowed to state the reasons for their opposition. After opposition statements are made, there will be no rebuttal by the applicant, and the hearing will be closed unless council decides to leave the record open. If you intend to speak, you're required to come to the front and stand at the speaker stand and state your name and home address before you make a statement. If you represent or speak for a group or organization, please identify who you represent. When you make your statement, please be concise. If you have a written statement, hand it to me or to Mr. Abbott, and it will be made part of the record. You're not required to read your written statement. If there's more than one witness for the applicant or more than one person in opposition, please do not repeat points that a prior speaker has already stated. All persons in attendance should conduct themselves in an orderly fashion. No applause or other disruptive behavior is permitted. Please do not do anything that distracts from these proceedings. If you have a cell phone, pager, beeper, or other telephonic device with you, please take the time now to turn it off or switch it to silent service. The applicant or their representative will not be allowed to question persons who speak in opposition, and persons who speak in opposition will not be allowed to question the applicant or their witnesses. At the conclusion of the hearing on each application, council may either approve it, deny it, or defer it to a later date. If the Planning and Zoning Commission deferred action, council will do likewise. Mr. Abbott, for the first hearing, please.
The Planning Commission held public hearing on this application on August 12th of this year. It's the application of Inland Bays LLC to consider the conditional use of land in a MR, medium density residential district, for multifamily dwelling structures to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, containing 11.96 acres more or less, lying north of Road 360, which is also known as Fred Hudson Road, 1,360 feet east of Road 357, which is known as Cedar Neck Road. On August 12th, the applicant submitted an exhibit booklet. There were six of them. Unfortunately, we only have one left. The commission kept theirs. I'll pass that down for your review. The commission heard comments from DLDOT, Sussex County Engineering Department, Utility Planning Division, Office of State Planning Coordination. There were three letters received in opposition or expressing concerns about this application. The applicants were present, gave the presentation. No parties appeared in support of the application. There were three parties that were present that spoke in opposition and expressed concerns to the application. On August 12th, the commission deferred action on this application. On September 9th of this year, they discussed the application under old business. Mr. Burton stated that he would move that the commission recommend approval. of CU 1850 for Inland Bays LLC based upon the record made at the public hearing and for the following reasons. One, the project previously received approval approximately 6 years ago, but that approval lapsed. It is appropriate to recommend approval again, but with additional conditions and stipulations. Two, the property is zoned MR, medium density residential, in an area that has developed with similar residential projects. These include the Salt Pond RPC and the courts and lakes at Old Mill. There are also other MR and GR zones with some conditional uses for multifamily dwellings. The project is also surrounded on two sides by the Bethany Lakes development. Three, the project is appropriate for the site because central water and sewer are available. In this case, there will be central sewer provided by Sussex County Cedar Neck Sewer District. Water will be provided by Sussex Shores Water Company. Four, the project is located in a development district according to the updated Sussex County Land Use Plan. Five, the project will be served by amenities that are on site. These amenities include a swimming pool, tennis court, and clubhouse. Six, with the stipulations placed upon this approval, there will be no adverse impact on traffic or neighboring or adjacent properties. And seven, this recommendation for approval subject to the following conditions. A, the maximum number of residential units shall not exceed 48 units. B, all entrance, intersection, roadway, and multimodal improvements required by DLDOT shall be completed by the applicant as required by DLDOT. C, recreational facilities and amenities, including a swimming pool and clubhouse, shall be constructed and open to use by residents within 2 years of the issuance of the first building permit for the project. D, the applicant stated that amenities and recreation features are located for convenient access and that central amenity areas are isolated from adjacent developments. To accomplish these stated goals, the recreation areas shall be relocated to a centralized interior location within the development. E, the development shall be served as part of the Sussex County Cedar Neck Sewer District in accordance with Sussex County Engineering Standards. F, the project shall be served by a public central water system providing adequate drinking water and fire protection. G, stormwater management and erosion and sediment control shall be constructed in accordance with applicable state and county requirements, and the project shall utilize best management practices to construct and maintain these fixtures. H, the final site plan shall contain the approval of the Sussex Conservation District for the design and location of stormwater management and erosion and sedimentation control system. As required in the original approval, the existing poplar trees along the westerly boundary shall be retained. In addition, a split rail or similar type of fence shall be installed along the western and northern boundaries of the property. J, the interior street design shall be in accordance with or exceed Sussex County street design requirements. K, construction, site work, grading, and deliveries of construction materials, landscaping materials, and fill on, off, or to the property shall only occur between the hours of 7 a.m. and 6 p.m. Monday through Saturday. Landscape and lawn maintenance shall be the responsibility of the condominium association. Best management practice shall be utilized to minimize any environmental impact. The final site plan shall contain a landscape plan of the project and shall also show all undisturbed forested areas. A hunting notice similar to the agricultural use protection notice shall be included on the final site plan, condominium declaration plan, and with the condominium governing document stating that hunting activities may occur on neighboring lands. No buildings shall encroach onto any wetlands. A vegetated buffer of at least 20 feet shall be established along the eastern boundary of the property. As agreed by the applicant in the plus response, the applicant shall cooperate with DENREC to perform a survey of the property to record any state, rare, or federally listed plants, animals, or natural features. Or if this conditional use is approved by the county council, the final site plan for this project must be approved within 3 years or this conditional use shall become null and void. And finally, the final site plan shall be subject to review and approval of the Planning and Zoning Commission, subject to the conditions of this recommendation and the conditions that the County Council may impose if this application is approved. The final site plan shall be substantially similar to the preliminary plan. There was a motion and a second, and it was forwarded to the County Council with the recommendation that it be approved based on the reasons and with the conditions stated, and that motion carried 4-0. Mr. Wheatley did not participate in the public hearing. After our commission held their public hearing, we received a letter. It was addressed to the commission. They were thanking, addressed to whom it may concern. They were thanking for the opportunity to comment and briefly summarizing it. They had four concerns. They request that the commission require a physical barrier be constructed along all of its boundaries that afford easy foot access to Bethany Lakes. They request the commission require a developer to prevent similar runoff from inland bays project onto the stormwater management ponds on the Bethany Lakes subdivision. They're requesting that the commission require inland bays to ensure a visual barrier in addition to the traffic preventing physical barrier. And they recommended that the pool be located as far from the shared Bethany Lakes property lines as possible. And that was signed by Alan Frost. And that's all I have, unless you have any questions.
Are there any questions of Mr. Abbott? If not, Mr. Fuqua, you must have quite riveting material in that book that everyone wanted to keep.
Good afternoon. Mrs. Deaver, gentlemen, for the record, my name is Jim Fuqua. I'm an attorney in Georgetown. I represent the applicant. There were sufficient numbers of copies of this book submitted, and I don't know why there was such a demand for them. This is my copy, and seated behind me, Dave McCarthy is a representative of the applicant, and Gordon Mead is an engineer with Davis, Bowen, and Friedel. This is I realize there's a lot of things going on today, and I will be brief. This is a conditional use application for 48 townhouse units on a 11.96-acre parcel. It's located on the north side of Fred Hudson Road, which is County Road 360. It's about a quarter of a mile east of the intersection of Fred Hudson Road and Cedar Neck Road. The Inland Bays LLC entity has owned the property since 1998, and this conditional use application is substantially the same conditional use application that was presented to the county in 2004. The county council did approve the original conditional use application for the 48 units in January of 2004. As was stated, there were extensions granted to that conditional use, but for business reasons, the project was put on hold, and the preliminary approval of the conditional use expired in 2007. The intent of the owner is to basically revise the project and hopefully be able to move forward at this time. The substance of the application remains the same as previously approved. The site is zoned MR, medium density residential. No change of zone is being requested. MR zoning permits approximately 4.15 units per acre, so the proposed 48 units complies with the existing zoning's permitted density. Under the 2008 comp plan, the parcel is designated as being in the environmentally sensitive development area and also in the mixed residential area. Both of those areas are growth areas under the comp plan. The comp plan recognizes that a full range of housing is appropriate in those areas, and that includes single-family townhouses and multifamily. The plan does recommend that central water and sewer facilities be encouraged, and they will be utilized for this development. The site is also in the Level 3 area under the state strategies plan, which is an area where the state does anticipate growth. The parcel is in the Sussex Shores Water Company service area, so water for domestic use and fire protection will be provided by that public utility company. The site is in the Cedar Neck expansion area of the Bethany Beach Sanitary Sewer District. It is allocated under the county plan for 48 units or 48 connections. The connection would actually be through an existing a water line in Bethany Lakes development. The county engineer's comments confirm that the development is within the system design and planning study assumptions and that capacity can be assumed. DelDOT did not require a traffic impact study based on the size of this, and the traffic impact is anticipated as is under the MR zoning, so the level of service will not change. The development will be a condominium, so it will have a condominium association that will be responsible for the enforcement of the restrictions and collection of assessments and the operation and maintenance of all the common areas and rec facilities. Electric would be by Connective and telephone by Verizon, and the site is in the Indian River School District and the service area of the Millville Volunteer Fire Company. The proposed development is consistent with the nature of the area. This area is developed as a mixed-use, predominantly residential area. I was going to refer to a tab under the book, which you don't all have, so I won't do that, but I will tell you that the site is immediately adjacent on the west and the north to the Bethany Lakes development. Directly across Fred Hudson Road is the Salt Pond Residential Planned Community and Golf Course. Salt Pond consists of several village areas that contain single family as well as townhouse residential units. The only thing that's really changed in the area since the original approval in 2004 is basically some additional development. If you went down to the intersection of Cedar Neck Road and Fred Hudson Road, at the time of the original application, Lindley Village was located there, which was a manufactured home park. That was since sold. The manufactured homes were removed, and zoning was approved for a single-family condominium development there, and that's currently under construction, and that's Sunset Harbor. You'll recall in front of Lindley Village was the Old Mill Crab House parcel. That also was sold, and zoning was approved for 48 townhouses on a 12-acre site there, and that has since been developed. That was right in front of Lindley Village. To the north of that was another parcel that's been developed with 160 units on 40 acres, and that's Bayside at Bethany Lakes. And then adjacent to Bethany Lakes on Cedar Neck Road is, a new development. I believe it's called Cedar Bay. The only other major change in the area was at the intersection of Fred Hudson Road and Cedar Neck Road was the Salt Pond sales office, and there was a miniature golf course there. That actually was zoned, I believe, B1 at the time the original Salt Pond was, RPC was approved. That site was sold, and that has since been developed with a Harris Teeter grocery store, which is now open. As Mr. Abbott stated, last Thursday, the Planning and Zoning Commission did recommend approval of the application subject to conditions. Those conditions, one of them was that we retain all existing trees along the western boundary of the site. That's the boundary right here next to Bethany Lakes. That was planned. It is the intent to retain those trees. That condition's fine. That was what we were planning on doing. They also required that a split rail or similar type fence be built along the west and the north boundaries of the site. Again, that's acceptable. Along the west boundaries of the site, that basically would come down here along these trees. We would ask for one modification of that. On the north, it would seem to me to be sufficient if the fence only went to basically about halfway. This area all here is wooded, will remain wooded, and it doesn't really appear to be any need to run a fence down there along that open area. So that's all going to remain in a natural state there. So I think halfway would be. The planning and zoning required that no building would encroach into wetlands, and that will be complied with. The Planning and Zoning Commission did request that a 20-foot vegetated buffer be located on the east side along the state land. That's over here. And this site plan showing basically a 50-foot setback from the state property. So it will be at least a 20-foot vegetated buffer. It's going to be more of a 50-foot vegetated buffer if anything is here. So that could be complied with, and it was already planned. The The one condition that we do have some questions about was the condition that the rec facilities would have to be moved internally into the development. What the plan shows here, again, basically you have your entrance. There's a circular road that comes around with the townhouse building centered around stormwater management pond that would be located here. There's a small parking lot here servicing the rec facility, which is called clubhouse and bathrooms, a swimming pool, and a tennis court. The Planning Commission recommended that that be relocated to the basically the interior of the site. The problem is the situation of the site, obviously, with wetlands and woodlands being preserved, it makes that just difficult to relocate that. And what's shown on this plan was what the county originally approved back in 2004. This is no different than what had already been approved. And we would request one of two things. One would be that this just the rec facilities be permitted to remain as shown on this plan, or if the council was so inclined, that the clubhouse bathroom and swimming pool would have to be relocated, but that the tennis court could remain here. Basically, the stormwater pond is just proposed. The engineering will have to be done to determine the size of that. So that it would be possible maybe to create space here where we could place this amenity in this area here. But quite frankly, we're just not going to be able to find a place to put the tennis court probably on the rest of the site.
How critical is a tennis court?
You know, it's an option that the developer would like to have. I know from the area that there's already nice amenities in the area. The Salt Pond has a public golf course located directly across the street. And just around the corner, going down Cedar Neck Road, is the Bethany Tennis Club, which is a private tennis club, but I believe courts can be rented there. And I actually mentioned that I don't know whether you really need a tennis court there because of the facilities that are in the area. But I think it was an option that.
I did read in some of the literature here that you've revised this a couple times to try to minimize it. But you haven't revised it since 06 or whenever it was the first time. There's been no revision since, or have there been, since the original approval.
I mean, there's been small tweaks, but I mean, there's not. There hadn't been a revision.
Okay, right. So this is what we looked at years ago, what we approved, right?
The original plan. Actually, the original plan did not have this road right here.
Okay.
You came in and you had to come around this way. And a condition that the Planning Commission in 2004 recommended and that the council placed on it was that this would have to be a looped road. So that was the major change that was done on it, and that involves moving some buildings and everything.
Okay. Because this is an environmentally sensitive developing district.
Yes, it is.
You can't get much more environmentally sensitive than this area. So with stormwater nowadays, they have all kinds of stormwater methods. Now they can just underneath the ground and you know, other retaining type of systems as opposed to these ponds. So there's a number of ways you could address stormwater nowadays, I think, that other developers are doing.
I'll defer
which
to
I've seen that are much more creative than this.
There are, but just with
identify yourself.
I'm sorry. I'm Gordon Mead with Davis Bowen and Friedel. There are a number of different ways that you can do that, but with the high water table on this site, we're probably going to be looking at a wet pond because our options are going to be very limited. Infiltration and those types of things require that you have separation between the bottom of the infiltration basin and the water table, and we're just not going to be able to do that.
I understand that. I'm just making sure that the rest of the council, that again reinforces the fact that this is environmentally sensitive because it's so wet.
Right.
So you don't have any problem of eliminating that tennis and thing, because I think that's what planning and zoning was concerned about, the fragmentation of that far as the area, because you are taking out quite a bit, and it's so remote, and it's right next, surrounded by State Park, pretty much.
Yeah. Now you probably can't see it real well from there, but the area where my hand here is basically wet. This is high ground back here.
Right.
It is wooded. The thought was that if the clubhouse and swimming pool were relocated, the tennis court could be pulled up, you know, fairly close to about here. so it would minimize any impact back there. But again, I don't disagree with what you're saying.
I also, Jim, I know this, that these guys are doing this on CAD systems. It's easy to sit down and have the computer rearrange things without a great expense like it used to be in the old days. So it is possible for you to show us something, or maybe what you're talking about is relocating some of these stuff that the developer is willing.
If the council said we don't want it there, relocate the pool and the clubhouse. You can do that, right? Okay, we don't think we can relocate the tennis court. So if we would like to keep the tennis court there, if the council feels that that's not appropriate, then I would ask probably that we just drop the tennis court.
Well,
and I say that from what I just said, that there is tennis courts available.
All over the place, and you go by and most of them are empty, especially when it was 90 degrees all summer. They were empty, and back in those trees where it won't get any kind of breeze, it'll be even hotter and buggier because the bugs will eat you alive there. And
I'm certainly not going to play there.
I know that. So I just, okay, all right. So we can, in other words, the Planning and Zoning Commission's recommendation, you're kind of receptive to, kind of, except for tennis.
Yeah,
I think so. There is one more option that we have discussed, and that would be if we move the pool and bathhouse over to here, possibly sticking the tennis court in right here, but we'd lose any specific parking for that purpose.
Well,
but
people could walk.
Not everybody going to walk into it anyway. But we've got room in that upland area between the wetlands to put it there if the council.
Okay.
You made a comment there a while ago about the water being high. High water here, your pond's going to stay full.
Yes.
All right, how do you plan on getting that water out of that pond?
To do what?
When it floods over, when you get a big rain.
It's got to go somewhere.
We'll have an overflow to the state highway, Fred Hudson Road, that will have to be
designed in accordance
with their requirements.
It already floods.
George, please don't interrupt.
I interrupt you when you're talking. I know it.
No, I think he actually agrees with you.
I'm agreeing with you.
Okay, but what I'm saying is I saw too many of these this past winter. That flooded over, went down the street, flooded the roads right full. And the problem was they didn't have no ditches to eliminate some water out of that pond. And it came out of the pond and flooded over. Actually, these are nothing but mosquito ponds until they come floods, and they're worthless. These ponds are actually, in my opinion, are worthless unless they're drained, some way of draining them.
Is there a
They haven't engineered it.
Facility? Is there a ditch?
Is there stormwater
on Fred Hudson Road, and we will not be able to discharge to it without building it to their requirements.
Sure.
So, it'll have to be built to meet their satisfaction for us to discharge.
Right. And the difficulty is, gentlemen, if you ride down Fred Hudson, it does flood at the closer as you go to the other end, right? It's flooded there quite a bit. But the ditches are always full. So when you do have a heavy rain, and it's high tide, all the water backs up into everything. So it is difficult for them to find a place to get rid of that water. That is a true. So Sam, you're kind of on the right track on that.
You're all pictures, but I've seen firsthand experience.
This is a tricky area because what he said, the high water table is awfully high.
And that is why we were trying to keep as much pond as we possibly could and put the tennis court and bath or bathing facilities on the upland area to the east. We'd rather not use our stormwater management facility, but we still think we can make it work.
But if you don't have that facility up there, then you don't have to have stormwater for it. That lessens the amount of stormwater you would need to be required to have, along with parking and buildings and other things, right? So,
well, it would, yes.
Right.
So actually, you can dig a hole as big as this room.
It'll still fill up.
The water table comes up. And then you get a rain, here's floods a thing, and it's no way of getting rid of it. I can actually show you, ever here certainly knows what I'm talking about, but it's up on high land. And here comes all the big rains we had this past year, 50 inches, and boy, she just flooded everybody. He even ran the water clear over on my park, and it just water everywhere. No way of getting rid of that water. A ditch will do more good, one ditch will do more good than all that ponds.
Are there methods to drain overflow into the wetlands? Of course, the wetlands will be full also during a heavy rain and everything else. So
right, I
guess
think
you
that would be a safe outlaw.
So you basically have just conceptually drawn at this point the stormwater management.
Right.
Now, of course, that will have to be reviewed and approved by soil conservation.
Right.
You know, the.
It's not a regular stormwater management.
Well, it have to be also approved, I assume, by DLDOT.
Right, if we're using it because
you're going to overflow in the DLDOT system.
If you're discharging.
Sure.
I'm certainly not against it.
Would you say anything the rest of them on that road, I'm sure, dump into that system?
Correct. I do want to address the one question that was raised in the letter that Mr. Abbott wrote. We would not be discharging into Bethany Lakes at all. That's not permitted.
Right.
We have to handle it all ourselves. Basically, that's a summary of the application. As I said, this was approved in 2004. It's significantly and substantially the same. The only thing that's really changed is some of the developments in the area and the grocery store that was built. The findings and the conditions of the Planning and Zoning Commission we think are appropriate and acceptable, with the exception of the two things that I mentioned, and the two things were that the fence on the north only needs to go halfway, I believe, and then the second one was that regarding the rec facility, and I would suggest based on the discussion that the clubhouse, bathrooms, and swimming pool would have to be relocated to the interior portion or to the eastern portion of the site. And I would say that the tennis court be optional if we can fit it on the site, and if we can't, then we can't, if you want to move it out of that area and preserve that area. And that's everything we have to present, other than any other questions you might have.
So, Mr. Fuqua, the condition D that planning and zoning recommended, which concerning moving the amenities, where it states to accomplish these stated goals, recreation area shall be relocated to a centralized interior location within the development, would be adequate from what you just stated.
Provided that the tennis court can be optional with the developer.
Left out where it's located presently, I mean.
Well, either left where it is or deleted.
My personal opinion would be I wouldn't care if you relocated it, but I think that the fragmentation of it stuck out there, and plus the requirement of more storm water than for that facility by moving it in will consolidate things. So if I don't care, put in what you want, I guess.
Well, then maybe
when it comes to amenities, but
then somehow, basically, I think what I'm saying is that the clubhouse and pool are required amenities, and then it'll be the developer's choice whether he wants to put the tennis court in or not. As I said, I personally don't think it's necessary.
If we require it, then the planning and zoning is going to interpret that as they want to see. Wasn't there a thing in here about when the amenities would be built?
C. 2 years the first permit.
Right. So if we say the amenities are going to be a pool and a tennis court and a clubhouse, we could have purchasers in the future come back and complain to us that what happened to the. Features, right? Isn't there a problem there?
We would need to list what the required amenities were. And one suggestion would be if we decide not to require the tennis courts.
Then he could add that if he wanted,
right.
If he had room.
So we just say the required amenities would be the swimming pool and clubhouse.
Okay.
C actually says recreational facilities and amenities, including a swimming pool and clubhouse, shall be constructed and open.
Right, doesn't mention tennis court.
Doesn't mention a tennis court.
Okay, yeah. Okay. I wasn't looking at it. I was just worried.
I just want to clear that, again, if the developer wants to do it and can find a place to put it, fine, but not to require it.
It's in Reason 5. It mentions a tennis court.
Right,
mm-hmm.
Which were their findings. But, again, in a larger development to be necessary, in this case, it's not that large a development, and those facilities are easily accessible in the area.
Well, Mrs. Deaver just pointed out that in number 5, it does state tennis court, so that should be stricken probably if we get to the final.
No, these were the findings for planning.
They're just fine. Okay.
They're just the findings.
Okay, that doesn't. Okay. Right. We could find. Can't we find today that wasn't a finding?
We can find.
Can we lose it?
Yes.
You can refind it.
We could refind it.
That's right.
With us, right? That was planning and zoning's findings. Mm-hmm. Our findings could be that we found that tennis court. Okay.
Not necessary.
So number 5 could be amended. Okay.
Okay.
That's a possibility. And then the other thing is then move everything into the center, which is doable, sounds like.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then how would we word that then in here in these conditions, Everett, right now? Or Mr. Fuqua, which letter are we talking about that we could amend to make it say that there is nothing going to be located in that?
Well, I think D,
does it.
If I'm following where I think the council's going, I think D, that language could stay the same.
Yes.
And just take tennis court out of the finding.
Right.
Tennis court out of...
Okay, I mean, so that is, to Shane Abbott, would the Planning and Zoning understand what we mean by that?
If it was in your findings, it...
I mean, if the way it's worded here,
yeah,
they gave us this.
On the condition, it doesn't require...
So it went back to them, we're all on the same page. That means that's bringing all that stuff down here. Okay. Just so we're...
Just put the pool in the clubhouse.
Okay. All right.
And again, not that it's a major deal, but if you agree with me, I don't think that fence needs to come...
What letter is that?
That
I.
is I, and
I, okay.
On the second line, if it's decided to do so, the second line, second sentence, third line, installed along the western and one half along the northern boundary of the property, if that was the council's pleasure.
Mm-hmm. Just half, you said, or
it's the western half of the northern boundary.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Just the western half. Okay.
Those Bethany Lakes, it runs down the whole back side of that, doesn't it?
Pretty much.
Actually, all down the north side of Bethany Lakes.
It's actually a road that swings in here.
Right.
And comes down here, and then there's some lots here. There's one big lot here, but there's a walking path that comes along here and then down here. And that's why the fence was proposed to keep the demarcation of
sure.
the development.
Sure. And isn't that what they use in their community, a split rail fence, I think, coming along the highway there?
Yeah, and we were going to try to maintain that same look.
So it's actually a white, a vinyl. No, you're right. It's a white vinyl fence down there.
It was just going to continue that, so it blended in with that.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, before we proceed on, do you have anyone else that would like to speak on behalf of the project? Is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to this proposal? Anyone in opposition? Sir? Would you state your name and address, please?
My name is Dana Linden. I live at 38382 Virginia Drive, Bethany Lakes. I'm not saying I'm opposed or anything. I guess a little confused. We have the only lot, which is adjacent to this property.
Do you mind going back to the podium because it is being videoed and to the mic, please?
My only concern my biggest concern in all this is, and you mentioned it, is the flooding that that little pond down there near my lot could end up causing. Because as I said at the P&Z meeting, where does the water go when the pond overflows? It's pretty close to me. So if they're going to move the pool somewhere interior, and I'm still unclear what you're talking about with the tennis court. But, maybe that pond can get moved up to closer.
Well, the chances are that we're trying to eliminate all that up there is what we're trying to do, I think, is the intent, right? And so there would be no stormwater retention pond. So maybe that needs to clearly state that also, that they don't put a stormwater retention pond up in that area either. Won't be needed.
Yeah. But otherwise, I've lived there for over 5 years and had some big rains and the ones you talked about. I've never really seen any water down there as a problem right now. So I don't want, unless it's a safety issue, you tell me it's going to work, I'd rather not see something built there that could become an issue, because it's not an issue now. So, that's all. I just wanted to clarify that, we are there. We're the only ones that are there. And for my money, I don't need a tennis court if it means I'm in harm's way.
When you say you're the only one there, you mean you're the only one there in that end of the community?
Well, I'm the only lot that butts up against their property.
Okay. There's a walking path before everything.
Yeah, everybody else has a lot that you know, is on the other side of the street or behind me, but I'm right next to pretty much where that pond's going. So,
okay. So you support moving?
Oh yeah, yeah, we support that, and you know, otherwise I support everything they're doing and the fence whole idea. We brought up the fence the last time, and I even told him before the meeting it's kind of silly to run that fence all the way down because it is wooded. So, you know, I support not doing just doing what he said, go halfway. But otherwise, just to eliminate that whole bunch of stuff down there at the back.
Thank you.
Is the reason that pond is down there because of that facility? Because of the tennis courts and the...
That was just for those amenities.
Okay. So as the amenities leave, the pond leaves, right?
Right.
Okay.
It just won't be disturbed.
Sure. Okay.
Right.
Okay.
Is there anyone else here in opposition? Seeing none, Mr. President, I think it's appropriate to consider the public hearing over and to close the record on this matter.
Without objection, the public hearing and the record is closed. What is the preference of Council, Mr.
Well, just Mr. Moore, if you would elaborate on the few things we talked about and you give us some language that we can all feel comfortable with, it makes sense.
Well, the first, I believe, would be to have a motion to amend item I to read as follows. As required in the original approval, the existing poplar trees along the westerly boundary shall be retained. In addition, a split rail or similar type fence shall be installed along the western and western one half of the northern boundaries of the property.
Okay, I'll make a motion that we amend I to be worded as stated by Mr. Moore.
I'll second the motion.
Motion and a second to amend I as stated by Mr. Moore. Any discussion? I will take the vote. Ms. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Benson?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
The other language that D does not need to be changed as I read it because it is requesting that any amenities be moved to a central location. The only possibility would be on C that would simply, instead of recreational facilities, stating the required recreational facilities and amenities, and take out the word including and just say a swimming pool and clubhouse, mm-hmm. comma. So we would simply delete the word including, mm-hmm. and put required at the beginning of the sentence, which would read as follows. Required recreational facilities and amenities, comma, a swimming pool and clubhouse, comma, shall be constructed and opened to use by residents within 2 years of issuance of the first building permit for the project.
Okay, I'll make a motion. We amend C to be as stated by Mr. Moore.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion? I will take a vote. Ms. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
Now, D, should we maybe add that that the wooded areas to remain undisturbed, as Mr. Fuqua just stated, that they would, all that area up there would remain undisturbed? So it doesn't imply that they, I mean, because otherwise they maybe could put a yes, sir.
Well, those aren't the only woods. I mean, there's half of the
404 wetlands, I think they've already said to be, there would be no...
Right. We're not going to be putting any buildings in that. But
right.
But all the dark green is wooded area. We will be doing some in wooded area.
You're talking about the
yeah,
north,
just by eliminate...
Northeast corner.
Yeah, the northeast corner to remain undisturbed somehow, I guess. But where you're showing the location of those facilities that we're eliminating, that area to be undisturbed. So I don't...
Yeah, I'll take care of it.
Is there a way to put that in there somewhere? Because that also abuts all that state park land, which is would be nice to keep it undisturbed because it's a continuation of those woods.
Something as simple as saying there's to be no construction in the northeast corner of the lot.
And what I'm thinking is in D, on the second sentence, to accomplish these stated goals, recreational area shown in the northeast corner of the property shall be relocated to a centralized interior location. That way you know that nothing's right. going there.
Well, then you could say, and that area to be left undisturbed or something.
Okay.
That would solve, that would put everybody at ease on that, that there wouldn't be any disruption up there. And Mr. Fuqua, on the when you've agreed to do the survey, when does that survey with the Department of Natural Resources? When would that be performed?
We just contact them.
That'd be performed before any disturbance right on site.
Yeah, well, we'll contact them. In other words, we make the site available to them. So.
Right. I understand that, but I'm just saying. I'm just wondering when, before construction or site work, I would think is when you want to do it.
You know, Denrick asked for that, but that doesn't necessarily mean they'll do it.
I understand.
So I don't want to condition it on that.
The way it reads
we,
is...
We will contact them and notify them that they're...
The way it reads so far is they've asked you, and you've all kind of been reluctant to let them in or something.
Nothing's ever developed,
okay.
Obviously.
Mr. Cole, if you desire, the D, as we amended, would read, the applicant stated that amenities and recreational features are located for convenient access and that central amenities... areas are isolated from adjacent developments. To accomplish these stated goals, the recreational area shown in the northeast corner of the property shall be relocated to a centralized interior location within development, and that northeast corner of the property left undisturbed.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Take the vote, Ms. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Benson?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
Do we need to do anything about the 911 addressing or anything with this? Weren't we putting those in, Shane?
That would put automatically be an agency approval that we would require.
Okay.
You can put it in, but we would require it anyhow.
Okay. I thought we were doing it for a while.
And have put it on.
Okay. I don't know. I guess we don't have to do it. I guess it sounds like they do that. That it complies with. I guess, yeah.
Less than 2 points.
Anything else? Mr. Moore, can you encapsulate it?
Yes, if you would like, I will read the ordinance, the amendments or the conditions, and then because there's been some changes in the findings with planning and zoning, I could read the findings as well.
Okay.
The ordinance, it's an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an MR, medium density residential district, for multifamily dwelling structures to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, containing 11.96 acres more or less, subject to the following conditions. A, the maximum number of residential units shall not exceed 48 units. B, all entrance, intersection, roadway, and multimodal improvements required by DLDOT shall be completed by the applicant as required by DLDOT. C, required recreational facilities and amenities, a swimming pool and clubhouse, shall be constructed and open to use by residents within 2 years of issuance of the first building permit for the project. D, the applicant stated that amenities and recreational features are located for convenient access and that central amenity areas are isolated from adjacent developments. To accomplish these stated goals, the recreational area shown in the northeast corner of the property shall be relocated to a centralized interior location within the development and that northeast corner of the property left undisturbed. E, the development shall be served as part of the Sussex County Cedar Neck Sewer District in accordance with Sussex County Engineering Department standards. F, the project shall be served by a public central water system providing adequate drinking water and fire protection. G, stormwater management and erosion sediment control shall be constructed in accordance with applicable state and county requirements, and the project shall utilize best management practices to construct and maintain these fixtures. H, the final site plan shall contain the approval of the Sussex Conservation District for the design and location of the stormwater management and erosion and sedimentation control system. I, as required in the original approval, the existing poplar trees along the westward boundary shall be retained. In addition, a split rail or similar type fence shall be installed along the western and western one half of the northern boundaries of the property. J, the interior street design shall be in accordance with or exceed Sussex County street design requirements. K, construction site work, grading and deliveries of construction materials, landscaping materials, and fill on, off, or to the property shall only occur between the hours 7 a.m. 6 p.m. Monday through Saturday. L, landscape and lawn maintenance shall be the responsibility of the condominium association. Best management practices shall be utilized to minimize any environmental impact. M, the final site plan shall contain a landscape plan of the project and shall also show all undisturbed forested areas. N, a hunting notice similar to the agricultural use protection notice shall be included on the final site plan, condominium declaration plan, and within the condominium governing document stating that hunting activities may occur on neighboring lands. No buildings shall encroach on any wetlands. P, a vegetated buffer of at least 20 feet shall be established along the eastern boundary of the property. Q, as agreed by the applicant in its plus response, the applicant shall cooperate with DENRAC to perform a survey of the property to record any state, rare, or federally listed plants, animals, or natural features. R, if this conditional use is approved by County Council, the final site plan for this project must be approved within 3 years, or this conditional use shall become null and void. S, the final site plan shall be subject to the review and approval of the Sussex County Planning and Zoning Commission, subject to the conditions of this recommendation and conditions that County Council may impose if this application is approved. The final site plan shall be substantially similar to the preliminary site plan. And if I could read the findings, because they will be different. One, this project previously received approval approximately 6 years ago, but that approval lapsed. It is appropriate to recommend approval again, but with additional conditions and stipulations. Two, the property is zoned MR, medium density residential, in an area that is developed with similar residential projects. These include the Salt Pond RPC and the Quartz and the Lakes at Old Mill. There are also other MR and GR zones with some conditional uses for multifamily dwellings. The project is also surrounded on two sides by the Bethany Lakes project, or development, excuse me. Three, the project is appropriate for the site because central water and sewer are available. In this case, there will be central sewer provided by Sussex County Cedar Neck Sewer District. Water will be provided by Sussex Shores Water Company. Four, the project is located in a development district according to the updated Sussex County Land Use Plan. Five, the project will be served by amenities that are on site. These amenities include a swimming pool and clubhouse. Six, with the stipulations placed upon this approval, there will be no adverse impact on traffic or neighboring or adjacent properties. And seven, this recommendation for approval is subject to the conditions that I previously read.
I'll make a motion we adopt the ordinance with the amended conditions.
Second.
I have a motion and a second to adopt the ordinance as read by Mr. Moore with the conditions. Any further discussion? Ms. Deaver?
Yes, based on the conditions, with yep. conditions.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
I'll vote yes. This plan, as revised, will help protect the fragile nature of the environment in that area, and the development will be able to proceed and have minimal impact on neighboring properties.
Mr. Vincent?
With the